In the epistle for today's Mass, we read, "There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen." The holy name of Jesus. What is in a name, after all? So for the Jews of old, a name was of great importance. The name of a man, if you knew it, it meant that you had a special access with that person. It would be something similar in our day as to having the cell phone, the personal cell phone of a person, of someone. We can call them. They trust us to call them. They allow us to call them anytime, really. And so it was for the Jews of old. To know the name of somebody was something special. You remember God, when they asked what his name was, when Moses asked him in the bush, he said, "I am who am." And that, "I am who am," was for them something very precious. They would not say that aloud. It was something sacred. And they treasured that name that God had given them. Now, when God creates something, he creates it by simply a single word of his mouth. He is all powerful. So when he gives a name to something, it is not as when we give names to things, as when we label things. Rather, for him to name something is to just make it what it is. The name for him, it tells us what is this thing, or what will this thing be in the future, according to God's will. Now, the name Jesus has been given to our Lord. God made man. It has been given by God himself. And therefore, there is an immense and infinite dignity and power in this name. In the beginning of today's Mass, the Introit, we read from St. Paul, his epistle, and there he tells us, "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, the saints, of those on earth, and of even those under the earth, those who are the enemies of God forever." So, every knee will bow, either willingly and with love, or by constraint. St. Paul, in this epistle, as we read an excerpt, he confesses the name of Jesus very boldly, and he, if you read his epistles, he believes in its power and efficacy. And if you read his epistles, you can learn to appreciate very much this holy name. St. Paul himself, he does not consider it something cheap to say this name, and yet he says it so often, and he writes it so often in his epistles. He had to learn, and he had to learn the hard way, how precious and sacred, salutary is this name given by God. He once campaigned against this very name. He was on a warpath to persecute, to imprison everyone who should invoke the name of Jesus. And it was on such a quest, as he was on the road to Damascus, that he was knocked off his horse. He heard a voice from heaven saying, "Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me?" And then he said, "Who art thou?" And the voice responded, and it was not as of old when God spoke to the ancestors, our forefathers, that "I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Jacob, I am who am." No, and neither did he say, "I am the God of indignation, of wrath, and fear ye very much." No, in this case, The voice simply said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. And by the name of Jesus, Saul was converted. Jesus in the Hebrew, it means Savior, he who saves. And hitherto, St. Paul did not consider or know God in this way, as a Savior, someone who comes to save us. For him, God was a God of justice, of wrath. And then St. Paul, when he recognized this name, he was given a mission to make known this very name to all men, that they might by this name be saved. And this mission, it would come at a great price. For as God told Ananias, and that who he was a contemporary of St. Paul, a Catholic, he told him, this man, St. Paul, is to me a vessel of election, to carry my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so we, who believe, who call upon this name of Jesus, we also are asked by God, we are demanded by God to suffer for the same. If we would suffer nothing for this holy name, then it will avail us nothing to call upon it. We must be willing to suffer. We must give up sinful attachments. And then, calling upon this name, it will give us abundant strength. The saints say it is something sweet like honey in the mouth. To say it with devotion, with faith. It animates us. And they recommend that we have this word, this name, always in our hearts and on our lips. In the epistle of this Mass, we read about St. Peter confessing the name of Jesus boldly, bravely. He who had once denied the same name, he boldly and bravely confesses it before the high priest, ready to suffer any consequences. And on this occasion, he actually did not have to suffer. He was let go because of the fear of the people. And we read about this, and what was the event, the occasion of this confession? Well, in the same Acts of the Apostles, a chapter just beforehand, we read, Peter and John, they went up into the temple, and it was the ninth hour, so about 3 o'clock. And a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid every day at the gate of the temple, and that he might ask alms of those going in. And so, when he had seen Peter and John going into the temple, he asked them for an alms. Peter and John, they looked upon him, and they said to him, look upon us. And he looked earnestly upon them, hoping to receive something. And Peter said, silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk. And then taking him by the right hand, he lifted him up, and forthwith his feet and soles, they received strength. And he, it says, leaping, stood with them and walked into the temple, praising God. And so when we are weak, when we have fallen, we must invoke the name of Jesus with faith and confidence, and then we will be able to again stand and walk before God, to praise God. Now, there is another condition required to invoke the name of Jesus efficaciously, with good effects. St. Peter, indeed, he healed a miracle, by calling on the holy name of Jesus. Miracles have been wrought throughout the ages, and it is not necessary that God heal the body, for that is not always good for us when you look into the big picture of eternity. But he does heal the soul when we invoke this name. But St. Peter had faith in Jesus Christ, and therefore faith is necessary. You may wonder why it is that this name, which today has been so vulgarized and is said so often, whether with good intentions or bad, by Protestants or Christians abroad, and even you see it often on billboards. It's out there, this name. But often with little or no effect to those who read or say it. In the Acts of the Apostles, we read also of the similar occasion, a similar happening. There were some Jews who went about doing exorcisms, driving away evil spirits from the possessed. And they attempted to invoke, we read, over those who had possessed, who had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I conjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. And there were certain men, seven sons of a Jew, a chief priest, that did this very thing. But the wicked spirit answering said to them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the wicked spirit was, leaping upon them and mastering them both, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the Jews and Gentiles that dwelt at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. In the commentary, the Haydock commentary of this verse of the Acts, we read that among the Jews, there were some who by calling upon the name of the true God, sometimes cast out evil spirits. But these, seeing St. Paul cast out devils by calling upon the name of Jesus, they thought it fit to do the same, although they did not believe in Jesus Christ. And so God punished them in this manner. Faith in Jesus Christ is therefore necessary if we should invoke it for our salvation, for our own good. Now, as I mentioned, this name has been cheapened because of how it has been vulgarized. Of old, the Catholics, you'll see it in art, very many places, IHS. That means, it's the initials for Jesus Hominum Salvator. It's the Latin for Jesus, the Savior of Man. And in other symbols, there are various symbols the church used to represent the name of Jesus, but it's not often you will see it written out as such, because there's something, when things are sacred, you sort of conceal them from the vulgar gaze, because that's how it is with like the chalice or the ciborium on the altar, this precious gold cup that will be used to offer the precious blood. You notice that it's always veiled when the priest comes out and returns to the sacristy. That's how we honor things that are precious or sacred. We conceal them to a degree until their proper time and place to reveal them. So for us, the holy name of Jesus, how can we use it and use it to our salvation and for the salvation of others? It's not by saying it aloud, necessarily, because that will only be throwing pearls to swine if you're in public. Now, sometimes it is to the greater glory of Jesus to say his name aloud or to recognize it in public, as we see St. Peter doing. And our own prudence is required to know when it is for his greater glory or not to confess him. But we can always do this as a great thing, a great devotion to practice. It's in reparation. And It is not always easy, but you can never go wrong with it. That is to simply bow your head when you hear this name said, whether it's said by a friend or a foe, by a Catholic or non-Catholic. You can always give honor to it by bowing your head. It's a small gesture, but if you do that, even when people will see it, you have to overcome human respect. That's a great act of reparation. And in fact, it's indulgence. To bow your head at the name of Jesus has an indulgence attached to it, the remission of sins. And in your private, in your own personal life, in your prayer life, think about just the name of Jesus as a prayer. It is a prayer, just the name. And it is such a prayer, so important a prayer, so powerful a prayer, that the Church recommends that to her children when they are dying. In the ritual, they are told to say frequently the name of Jesus. Because for those who are dying, they are in such acute pain, their mind is so burdened with fear of death, or the fear of their past sins and transgressions and so many other things, and the devil who's trying to tempt them, they are, in a word, entirely burdened, and they are without any strength or energy. They feel like they can't pray, or they can't put together a sentence. They don't even know what to say or to pray. But for them, it is still possible and even very easy to say that name, Jesus. Jesus. And so they are told by the priest, whisper that to yourself as often as you can. You can say it aloud, but if you're out of breath, you can whisper it. If you can't even do that, simply thinking of this name will suffice. It is a light in the darkness. Saint Bernard tells us it is food which gives us strength. It is a fire that burns us. It ignites us with love for God. It washes away our sins. In the gospel we read of today's Mass, it is, you may notice, the same gospel read a few days ago for the circumcision. Our Lord is circumcised, his blood is shed for the first time, and his name is given to him, Jesus. And this name, we read, was given by God, but through the angel. The angel told it to Our Lady. The angel also told it to Saint Joseph, to each of them. For they were the parents who had rights over this boy. And so, with the angel and Saint Joseph and Our Lady, the parents, we can intensify our devotion to this holy name. And you do this often when you say the Hail Mary. Think of that today. Think of it this month of the holy name. The Hail Mary is composed partly by the words of an angel, Saint Gabriel, and it is addressed to Our Lady. You say Our Lady's name, Mary, which is a prayer also in itself. But at the center of this prayer, the Hail Mary, we have the name of Jesus. So pause just a little when you say the Hail Mary today, and just think of that name and how that name is so efficacious. It gives actually all the efficacy to that prayer as a whole, to all the prayers that we say. They would be nothing without Jesus. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, that is a prayer which you can memorize, you can make a habit of saying. And you can do that in your work day. No matter what you're doing, where you are, you can always manage that much. And many and great blessings will come to you if you do so. And you will be blessed, most of all, if you have this habit of invoking the Holy Name. You will be blessed to find that when you are when you're suffering a terrible cross, or something comes that was unexpected, something very hard, you may cry out, and you may cry out the name of Jesus. But that will not be something vulgar. That will be something most beautiful and holy before God, that you call upon him in your distress. We condition ourselves by doing the private prayer habitually. And then you will find on your deathbed that those names come naturally, and God naturally will come to save you. And God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.